Holy Ghost, help me. Lord, put your hands together. Give God praise. Now, Courtney, anytime you get lost on Sabbath and you can't find your way, just come on over here. What a blessing. You look good. This is Tacoma Park Church. Ain't no church like Tacoma Park Church. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise his holy name. We end our series today, Restoration from the Gospels. And we pick up next week. I'll be preaching for both services as we launch the theme, I Serve. First service next week, my subject is the assignment. And for second service next week, my subject is the assignment, part two. But today, the king who missed Christmas. Let's pray. Speak to our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. There is nothing more frustrating than to anticipate something of prominent and meaningful touch in your life. To build up your emotions, to anticipate the experience, to look forward to, and finally come near to that moment when what you have anticipated will take place. Nothing could be more frustrating than to have that experience and then go to sleep and wake up a day late and the event be gone. Supposing that it happened to you just for this past Christmas. You went to sleep on Wednesday night and somehow you just didn't wake up till Friday morning. All the gifts have been given. All the food has been eaten. All the fellowship has taken place. Just imagine how you would feel to look forward to plan, to prepare, to anticipate, to wish for, and miss it. But that is our story today. That is the biblical account today that we must review. Most of us associate the name of Herod with the horrible act of killing babies. But the Bible does not do him justice. Secular history tells us a lot more about Herod. And it is in that secular history, Rodney Cartwright, that we get a feel for this man whose very name conjures in us condemnation. We're appalled at a man who could kill babies 2 years and younger. How do you get there? What brings you to that kind of expression of self, of fear? The baby killer, the reputation, Herod. But secular history gives us a deeper understanding. You see, Herod called the great, which he's never called in the Bible, but called in history the great, was the son of a man named Antipater. Antipater was a personal friend of Julius Caesar. Antipater was an Idumean. What did I say? Idumean. Idumeans, Cecil, were descendants of Esau. They worshipped the same God as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are you listening to me? Edomians, descendants of Esau, grew up with the same hope in the coming of Jesus that the sons of Isaac had, that the sons of Jacob had. Edomians kept the Sabbath. Edomians returned tithe. Edomians followed the eating program of the Bible. Edomians read the Holy Scriptures. Edomians knew the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Edomians were faithful in their attachment to Yahweh. And Herod the Great grew up a believer in Scripture. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the challenge for you today as a Seventh-day Adventist, it's not having the hope, it's keeping the hope. It's not knowing the Bible, it's obeying the Bible. Would somebody say amen? Amen. Herod the Great was a man who grew up with a knowledge of truth. The prophecies of Genesis 49:10 were his. The promise that the child would come, the Isaiah 17:14 text. Herod the Great knew that text, that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and he be called Emmanuel, God with us. He had the hope of Zechariah 10 that the blessing of Jacob would come. He grew up with all this stuff. The record says that no one embellished the temple like Herod. He loved the word of God. In fact, secular history tells us that on Sabbath, Herod would do nothing that related to his kingship. He was a faithful Herod the baby killer, was a faithful Sabbath keeper. But things happen along the way. You do know that life will sometimes run over you. Amen. Ever been run over by life? Get your hand up. Amen. And keep on going. Life won't pause to pick you up. It just leaves you in the street. Somebody say amen. Amen. And along the way, Joel, as Herod gained power, he began to fear the loss of power. Watch it. He began to fear the loss of power. Listen to me. He began to fear the loss of power more than he feared the loss of God. See, the people sitting here right now, dear two, who are there more concerned about losing their house and losing their job than they are about losing their relationship with Jesus Christ. And life has a way of revealing who you are, where you are, how you stand, what you believe. Life will not let you lie very long. He began to take on power, money, position. He became, because in the Roman Empire, they ruled their empire by having these puppet kings, of which Herod was one, and he became the most powerful of all the puppet kings. He had a straight line to Caesar. And this power and this position and this notoriety began to go to his head. And we read in history that Herod became the husband of many women. The record says that Herod had over 100 children. Brother was doing more than ruling. Over 100 children, and he was full of jealousy and insecurity, and so of those 100 children, by the time Jesus was born, of those 100 children, only 3 were left alive. He killed them all because he thought they might be rivals to his kingship. His favorite wife, Mariamne, he strangled with his own hand. For fear somebody would take her from him. Now you're sitting here appalled, but think about some of the things that you make more important in life than they ought to be. Think about the things that you fear losing. Think about the things that you have lied and sometimes cheated and sometimes on the edge to have. Do not be so critical of Herod, because there are a lot of believers who hold things more important than God's word. There's a reason why the Bible promises that in the last day, God's going to find out who you are, where you are, what you believe, and what's important. Because in the last days, I've read my Bible, it tells me that all these things we hold so important, God will take them away from us. He's going to find out before he takes you to glory who's important. We're going to lose house, lose land, lose job, lose position. We'll have nothing but Christ. And you're going to find out if that's enough. Adventists like to talk about the days of the time of trouble when we'll run to the rocks and mountains and the caves. You ain't never lived in no cave. Pastor preaches that stuff. Hey, man, you ain't never lived in no cave. We get upset if the lights go off. Come on, somebody. Let Comcast fall short and you get home tonight and there's no TV. You upset. You're on the phone. Hey! It just takes a little inconvenience to find out who we are, folk, where we really stand. Let that big fine car not start. You're upset. You haven't paid for it yet. By the way, that's why we shouldn't be so upset about this stuff. You know, we really don't own nothing. Come on now. My house is paid for, but if I miss my taxes next year, I'm going to find out that Prince George's County owns my house. Come on, somebody. You miss one note on that car, you're going to find out that GMAC owns your car. All these things that we struggle for and try to hold on to, Herod forgot, nothing lasts. But he became so wrapped up in holding on to and possessing, that the thing he grew up hoping for, to see Jesus. You see, folk, the old people, hear the pastor, the old people believed as much in the first coming as we believe in the second coming. They talked about the first coming like we talk about the second coming. Their hymns centered around the first coming like our hymns centered around the second coming. They prayed and besought God for the deliverer like we pray and seek God for the coming king. They had that same hope. But having hope and holding on to hope are two different things. He became a great builder, embellishing the temple, a great statesman. Do you know that Herod the baby killer was known that every Passover, every feast day, he would empty the coffers of his own storehouse and see that all the needy and poor received food? Herod the baby killer. He was known as the most generous of kings. But you see, once again, I got to talk to you. Herod's like us. See, for many of us, there are two of us in one person. There's that person who goes to church on Sabbath and then is quick at the club on Saturday night. There's that person who enjoys the majesty of the Messiah as we did last Sabbath, but can bounce just as good to funk rock during the week. There's that person who pays tithe out of the same wallet with which he buys beer and whiskey. There's that person who can read the Bible and intelligently understand it and read Playboy at the same time. Why y'all getting quiet? There's that person who can be a church member who gives bread to the poor, but also that same person who can kill babies with conviction. That's Herod. Most people in the church, unfortunately, are a Jekyll and a Hyde. And at some point, listen to me, at some point, that id in you will take over if you don't feed that Christ in you. Amen. He began to deal with disillusionment. He found he couldn't count on people. There were attempts to unseat him from his throne. And the thing that concerns me a lot when I think about my congregations that I pastor, I find, and this bothers me, I find that there are more people who get discouraged about the church over people than any other thing. I have no intention of allowing any of you all to kick me out of this church. I ain't staying home because I'm mad at you. Come on now. Don't sit there, Pius. I'm not staying away from TPC because somebody insulted. I'm not going to do that. This ain't your church. God's house. And Herod began to let people get to him and got upset about people. And I get tired. I get tired of hearing people in the church talk about they're not coming to church because so-and-so did so-and-so and so-and-so did. When are you going to learn? The church is full of sinners. So if a sinner in the church acts like a sinner, what's the surprise? How can you let that cause you to stay away? This is a place where people are getting fixed. Some of us are more fixed than others. Seventh-day Adventist Christians, in spite of all the vegelinks they eat and the carrot juice they drink, sometimes have bad days. Somebody say amen out there. And sometimes that bad day shows up on Sabbath in church. They don't speak. They don't shake your hand. They do say something they shouldn't. Forget them. You're on your way to the kingdom of God. But Herod let people get to him. He let his mistakes get to him. I won't talk about you. Let me just talk about me. I have made mistakes. I've made mistakes. Why would you let your mistakes cause you to lose your hope in Christ? He saved you knowing you would make mistakes. I wish somebody would say amen. Yeah. When you got baptized, he knew you would still commit sins. Isn't that something? That's the kind of God I serve. Yeah, when you became an elder, he knew sometimes you would act like an elder shouldn't act. Yeah, when you became a deacon, it didn't shock him when you had some non-deacon days. Even when you got married, it didn't shock him when some days you acted unmarried. I need the married folk to say amen. Yes, sir. Need somebody to help me with this stuff here, because God brought you in this church messed up, broken up, needing to be fixed up. So since he has not given up on you, why give up on yourself? Cling to Jesus Christ. Hold on to his unchanging hand. Know that God is not finished with you yet. And if you mess up tonight after hearing this sermon, he loves you tonight and will wake you up on Sunday morning. Hallelujah! But Herod got discouraged over his own life. Takes he made, bad decisions he made. And the devil has a way of bringing that stuff up, doesn't he? Yeah, you know he does. Devil will bring that stuff up. You ever been praying and your sins come up while you're praying? That's the devil. That's the devil. That got to Herod. His religion never permeated his whole life. His religion never permeated his whole life. His religion, y'all, never permeated his whole life. Now, Neil, that's something we got to be concerned about. See, I don't know about you. I've been in the church for 60 years. Yeah, 60 years. I've been in the church. Seems like after 60 years, religion ought to permeate a brother's whole life. Somebody say amen out there. Yeah, at some point, you know, if you hang around it long enough, If you hear enough sermons, if you collect enough tapes of Breath of Life and Walter Pearson and all them other fellas you got. You know, some of us got tapes piled up to our neck. Yeah. People walk up to me, Pastor, heard you preach a sermon 30 years ago. My mind says, what'd you do with it? That's what I say. What'd you do with it? Collections of the gospel. Collections of, we got Sabbath recorded. Going back, one brother showed me, it wasn't in this church, went to his house, had dinner, went to the library. He had Sabbath recordings going back to 1937. And Joel, I tried to act impressed. But it was no, really, I tried, but it was hard to fake it. You know, I kept saying, you got down to 37? What for? See, ask, what does that mean? See, what does that mean? The only thing that really counts is relationship, y'all. We have to get by the stuff. It's got to permeate so that you are a Christian all the time. Not some of the time, all the time. We got to get there. And Herod never got there. He gave to the poor, y'all. He gave to the poor. There are deeds of righteousness that Herod did that you cannot match. But he reached the point where he could pronounce with authority, kill all the babies 2 years and younger. Herod. Herod the Great. So when we study him, we see some serious problems. He lost touch. Go to Matthew 2 and verse 5. He lost touch. Sitting in church, and he lost touch. Sitting in church, and he wasn't saved. Sitting in church, he wasn't changed. Sitting in church, he was no different than the first day he sat in church. Matthew 2, verse 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Now, the wise men showed up. If Herod had been studying his Bible like he should have anticipated the birth of Christ. Would you agree with that? But here's what gets to me. See, I want to make sure you've read your Bible. Here's what gets to me. The wise men showed up 2 years after Christmas. So you can take them nativity scenes and throw them in the trash. Ain't no wise men and shepherds been at no manger at the same time. Go to Luke, the second chapter. Go to Luke, the second chapter. You read it during Christmas time, but did you really read it? Talks about the taxing, verse 1. Who was the governor, verse 2. Everybody taxed, verse 3. Joseph went, verse 4. With his wife, verse 5. Verse 6, she delivered. Verse 7, she brought forth. Then verse 8, shepherds in the field. Verse 9, angel shows up. Verse 10, fear not, behold. Verse 11, unto you was born. Verse 12, shall be a sign. Verse 13, angel has a great choir with him. Verse 14, what they sang. Verse 15, they go away, and they go to Bethlehem. The shepherds go to Bethlehem. Note, and when they had seen it, they came in haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying where? In a manger. Have you ever asked yourself, why in Luke's version are the wise men not mentioned? He's a historian. He's given the detail. Why would he write the story, Anwar, and not mention the wise men? Big time dudes like this showing up, turbo-powered camels, all kind of stuff. He doesn't mention them. Luke doesn't mention them because they weren't there. Now go to Matthew 2. Go to Matthew 2. Oh, you should see the looks on your faces right now. You spent $15 on that nativity site. I'm getting ready to tear it up. When you get to Matthew 2, the wise men show up. We didn't read that part. Then they show him the text. Baby should be born. Verse 7, Herod says, hey, verse 7 is key. Look at verse 7. All you folk in the balcony, open your phones and look at verse 7. Matthew 7. I'm going to read it. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them, what? What time the star appeared? When did you see the star? In the meantime, the wise men go and see the baby. Now, please learn to read the Bible. Verse 11. When the wise men arrived, where did they go? Does it say anything about a manger? Says they went into a house. Do you see that? House. Joel, you see it? House. Does it say manger? Just house. And it's interesting, as he writes a story, Matthew does, he mentions nothing about shepherds. Because they weren't there. Been there 2 years before. Where are you getting the 2 years? From Herod. I'll give it to you in a minute. So they go into a house, and then it says they saw the young, what did they see? Young child. Doesn't say babe. It says young child. In the Hebrew culture, the word child is not used until a baby is at least 1 year old. So it's at least a year. The king who missed Christmas. So, Pastor, where are you getting the 2 years? Just read the Bible. Amen. Matthew 2, verse 16. Now, remember, they come. They say, we're going to find the baby. Herod the hypocrite says, well, when you find him, come back and tell me. Going to worship that brother too. Well, the wise go find the child in a house. Child in a house, not manger, child, not babe, in a house. After the visit, the Lord says, go around the beltway. Don't take 395 back through town. That's bad, huh? Yeah, you go around the beltway and head north as soon as you can. Now, here's what we got to think about. If the star, see, just use common sense. Let's say the star appeared the day Jesus was born. Well, they came from the east. I got to sit down on this one. It came from the, they lived in Persia. Folks, it's 800 miles from Persia to Bethlehem. So unless they had turbo-powered camels, ain't no way in the world they saw the star. Remember, the star was the angels. And the angels appeared to the shepherds, didn't they? On the night he was born. So if they saw the star on the night he was born, unless them brothers had supersonic jets, there's no way in the world the wise men are showing up the same day he was born. Is everybody with me now? It's all right, don't be embarrassed. Take the nativity site and put it in the back somewhere and just keep it. Don't display it because it's a lie. So, Pastor, where do you get 2 years? Now, am I making sense to you so far? Do you see it? No wise men, no shepherds at the same time. Is that clear to you? You got that, brother? You play dead horn, my brother, but I want to leave you with truth. I want to send you out with truth. See? You played that horn. Praise God. So we got that. We got that. We also know that the star didn't appear till the night he was born. That's in Luke, isn't that right? So if the wise men started when they saw the star, they got to get from Persia to Bethlehem in one night. You can't do that. I can testify. The fastest jet on the world can't do that. So Herod says to them privately, "Hey, before you fellas go down and find the baby, verse 7, tell me, when did you see the star?" Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, that means mad, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from what? How did he pick that figure? The verse tells you. According to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men, they told him, "We've been traveling almost 2 years." Amen. It's in the book. He said, "Oh, you've been traveling that long. I'm going to make sure I cover it. We're going to kill all the babies 2 years and younger according to the information I got from the travelers." He's 2 years late. He's 2 years late. All that Sabbath keeping, all that tithe returning, all those sermons heard, all those Sabbaths who quarterly is collected, all those good deeds done for salt. And the one thing he hoped for, to see the Christ. The one thing that he prayed for, to see the baby. The one thing that his heart was wrapped up in, to be delivered from the Romans by the coming of the Messiah. He missed it by 2 years. There shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Those things took place in the 1800s. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence. Those are going on now! There's very little left, folk, but the 7 last plagues. And a national Sunday law. Those are the 2 main things left. Are you going to miss your Christmas? You won't have 2 years. Because he that shall come will come. He will not tarry. And the earth shall heave like a drunken man. All the works therein shall be burned up. You will not have a 2-year layover. Either you're ready or you're not. There he sits on his throne, his purple robes wrapped around him. His face is haggard. His eyes are vacant. He's done the worst thing he ever thought he would do. No one would have told him he would ever kill babies. His soldiers in horror received the command. They know the king has gone crazy. He's lost it. When you lose Jesus, you've lost it. There's one truth left in Herod's head. Hear it well. Hear it well. Hear it well. You see, either you kill the baby, or the baby will kill you. I'm crucified with Christ. Hey! Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, the function of the baby is to destroy you. And when you resist that, then you destroy the baby. There's no two way. You can't have it both ways. Either you let Christ crucify, nail you, destroy you, or by your resistance you shall kill the baby. Either way, you must make a choice. To Brother Williams, he must kill in me and you our egos. He must kill Norman in me and you our greed. He must kill Eric in me and you our anger. If you do not let Christ kill you, then ultimately you will kill the baby. We don't need to spend any more time on the King who missed Christmas. Let's close by looking at you. At the end of 2014, who's winning? You or Jesus? Are you letting him crucify you? Or have you, by your deeds and decisions this year, killed him? Is the voice that used to move you, is that still small voice that used to prick you, is that conscience that used to awaken, do you now sit and listen to sermons and let them go by? Can you hear it now? I don't care how the pastor preaches, I walk out just the same. I don't care how many appeals he makes, I still get up and I ain't coming for it. No, because I have killed the baby. Nothing moves me anymore. He died a horrible death. A mind full of truth. A heart full of self. Your heads are bowed. Hold for me, sis. Keep playing, pianist. December 27, 2014. A day in which God saw you in church before you were born. How's your hope? Herod lost his. How's your anticipation? Herod lost his. How's your dream of seeing Christ's face in peace? Herod ceased to dream. All he could do was scuffle to hold on to what little he had on planet Earth. He read Bible, you read Bible. He attended church, you attend church. He returned tithe, you return tithe. What's the difference? And you let the baby kill you before you killed the baby. So the appeal is direct, no apology. You've come right up to this Sabbath. And you, young lady, you, young man, you, boy, you, girl, you, man, you, woman, have not gotten up out of your seat and walked down to this front aisle and this front seat to join the church and prepare for baptism through Bible study. You keep putting it off, making that decision. So let's start there. Is there anybody today who needs to make that decision, to take a stand for the baby? If you're here, would you come? Come on. That's the first appeal. I like it when it's clear like this. If you come, you know why you're coming. Don't look around. Should you be coming? Second appeal, the first one stays right there. I'm not withdrawing it because somebody should be coming. Second appeal. As you have heard the word of God today, you recognize there's something about you that is really destroying the baby. You're doing a Herod. You didn't see it that way till you heard the sermon, but you're doing a Herod. It's something that's going on in your life that's strangling the child. If you come forward to this appeal, you're not coming forward to join. You're coming forward for deliverance. You need deliverance from the issue, whatever it is. And you want to respond to the sermon by saying, I just need prayer. Something in me is destroying the baby. Would you come? Would you come?